Get a deeper connection with the Cougars of BYU Sports.
God gives us a gift, and we use that gift until he takes it away.
Deep Blue.
Just sitting down afterward and being really tired and thinking like, wow, I just won the U.S. championship.
This is Deep Blue. Here's your host, Jason Shepherd.
Thanks for tuning in for a new episode of Deep Blue. This is the show where we get to know the person behind the number that you see on the field or the court. These are the true stories of BYU athletes from their own mouths. My guest today, Jonathan Tavernari. JT, how you doing, my friend?
Good, man. Thanks for having me. This is fun.
You bet. Like, I'm excited. You know, I've known you for a long time. I covered your career. And, you know, obviously get a chance to talk with you in interview format on BYU Sports Nation and other places. But I'm excited to get to know a little bit more of your backstory, even though I think I know quite a bit. The best part about doing these is I always learn something. Usually I learn a lot of things about the guests that I didn't know. And I always find that interesting. So I'm looking forward to getting to know you a little bit better. So thanks for doing this.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I think we've known each other at least at minimum since my time at BYU started. And so I remember when you're covering us, even before you joined BYU TV. And so it's been a minute.
Yeah, it certainly has been a minute. We don't need to go over how old we are now and how long we've known each other, right?
we turned 28 last week, right? So we're good.
Yeah. Amen, brother. Amen. So let's start here. You've stayed close to BYU basketball. Obviously, you help us out on BYU TV as an analyst. And I know it's important for you to stay involved with the program. What has it meant to you to be able to stay as connected as you have with the program in the way that you have?
Yeah, I grew up in Brazil. Everybody knows that. You know that. But I've always been Americanized, right? I was always infatuated with the American dream, living in America and living the American dream. Obviously, you know, I realized my childhood dream of playing basketball professionally, of playing for my country. I never got to play in the NBA, but aside from that, I pretty much got to play every other level in the world. But playing in not necessarily only high school, but playing in college for me was always a dream. You know, I grew up watching, you know, American pop culture. I grew up, you know, dreaming about being the Fresh Prince. And I grew up with blue chips with Shaq and Penny. You probably remember that.
Of course.
And as I grew up, I saw how important and the significance of joining the community of the university that you attend, right? When I was young, I was good from a very early age because of my mom. My mom is a basketball coach, a legendary coach in Brazil. You know, you guys know that. But I was good, and I had the opportunity to go to Europe or to stay in Brazil and become a pro. But that never really, you know, appealed to me. What appealed to me is I wanted to play in the NCAA. I wanted to play in college. I wanted to win a championship. I wanted to be able to have the college experience, right? And so as I worked towards that goal and ultimately was able to accomplish that goal, and, you know, never in my wildest dreams I thought I was going to be one of the best foreigners to ever play at BYU, break all the records that I did, win all the championships, top 25s, NCAA tournaments. Those were goals, but they were also like mainly dreams, because not everybody does that. And as we've seen in the last two decades, you don't go to the ACAA tournament every year. That's not a given. And so, you know, why have I stayed so close to BYU is because I feel like BYU and the church and the gospel and the community, they have given me so much and they mean so much to me that, you know, I feel like with who I am and the personality that I have and the things that I know and the skills that I've developed, I can give back to the university, to the community by, you know, doing color commentating and then being an analyst in the basketball, to working with the guys in the summer and helping with their shooting and mental side of basketball that I went through at BYU and as a pro. And so That's what BYU means to me along. And to me, this is all intertwined with the gospel and, you know, the closeness that we have to the church. BYU is where I found my eternal companion. You know, like I met my sweetheart at BYU and you know, I married my college sweetheart. And so that's what BYU means to me.
You know, you talked about, you know, being an international player. And, you know, if we just look at, you know, this season's roster, you got a lot of international players. And certainly forefront there is Yegor Demon. You know what a player like Yegor is going through, coming to a new country, trying to learn how to navigate everything. It's all new for him to a large degree. Whether it's Yegor specifically or any of the other current or previous international players, do you make a point? And I know you're going to reach out to all of them, but do you make a point specifically to make sure you reach out to the international players because you know what they're going through?
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned Yegor because if you remember, I think it was at the Arizona game, I think. BYU lost it at home. Yegor didn't play well, didn't shoot well at all. And then I think there's a clip of me going on the court and being with Yegor there working on free throws and things like that. You know, I would love to take the credit that Yegor fixed his free throw shootings because I Mr. Miyagi that whole thing. Truth is, Jace, we talked about anything and everything you can think of except basketball. Because exactly where you brought it up, I came to America when I was 16 years old. I went through my junior and senior year of high school, you know, almost never seeing my mom and dad. Now, I was very lucky and fortunate that people took care of me. Host families took care of me, friends that I made and their families took care of me. And I try to show that gratitude, you know, by always giving them credit, by, you know, being close to them. And so, but I knew what I was looking at, which is why Jared will be the first to tell you, as soon as the show ended, I said bye. I hugged everybody bye. And I rushed out of there. And I usually stay and chat a little bit. We've done some post games together before. You know, I tried to just hang out a bit because I could see as clear as the light of day that Yegor at that point, he didn't need somebody to tell him how to shoot, how to dribble, how to attack. He just needed someone to listen and make him laugh. We talked about, I told him some Brazilian jokes that he thought was hilarious. I try to pronounce the name of some Moscow neighborhoods. We were literally talking about life and about, hey, I know how you're feeling. How's your family? Hey, you know, how's your mom and dad? Are they going to come out for a game? What's the situation? And A, B, and C, and all of these different things. And we never talked about basketball because I know what that's like. I know what's to miss your mom and dad and you can't see them and you can only talk to them over the phone. Remember Skype? FaceTime wasn't around. iPhone wasn't a thing. I had to Skype my mom and dad. And, you know, and so, and I've had that relationship with Foos. You know, I had that communication, you know, with other guys that have been here internationally. And I feel like those are the things that I can do to help the players, to help the program, you know, because I do appreciate all the access that the university and the coaching staff, they continue to give it to me.
When you came to Utah, and by that I mean the state of Utah, of course, you were not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You mentioned that. So you're going through a lot of changes in a very short period of time. We're going to get into your conversion story in a minute, but I want to know, what did you know about the church and BYU? Whether you knew you were going to end up at BYU or not, what did you know about either one of them when you came to the state of Utah in high school to start your high school career at Tempe?
Yeah, so I knew a little bit about BYU. I had seen pictures, and I knew a little bit because I knew Hafa, but I didn't know Hafa that well. But I knew Lou, and my mom and Lou's dad actually were really close, Luis Lemus. So because my mom and Luis' dad were really close, I knew Lou. So I actually had a chance to talk to Lou's dad. I had a chance to talk to Lou a little bit over MSN Messenger. You're talking about us old. We're giving it away right now.
We're going old technology here, man.
Oh, man. You know, and AOL, you know, AIM, AOL, instant message and all of that. And so I had a chance to talk to Lou. But I didn't know much about Utah and the Pioneers and the religion and BYU. I just knew that, you know, Travis Hansen played there and Danny Ainge played there and Sean Bradley came to BYU. And so I didn't know really what to expect. What I do remember is I remember being in Brazil and I remember seeing missionaries of the church. And I have a vivid memory of this because I remember where I was and I remember saying, hey, you guys are, you know, Christian missionaries. And I never even say missionaries. Do you guys have some of those WWJD little things, you know, the wristbands that Allen Iverson was wearing?
You have swag from the missionaries is what you're saying.
Right? And they're like, no, but we can tell you about the Book of Mormon. And I was like, I don't want to hear about that. I don't. I just want a little bracelet. And I have a vivid memory of that even before I knew about the church. Now, the summer before I came officially, you know, to the U.S., I had a chance to come and stay. So this is probably about 2002, Shep. And in 2002 is when I started communicating and talking to these guys. 2003, that summer, I got a chance to come and visit Provo for a couple of weeks. And, you know, it was a big sacrifice on my parents' part to be able to send me here. I stayed with Lou. I hung out with him. And that was my first time seeing campus. And I fell in love with what I saw. It was my dream. I said, I'm going to work as hard as I can to one day play in the Marriott Center. And I was 15 years old. It was, you know, like I was 15 years old when that happened. And then I started organizing and making sure everything was okay with, you know, the conference, the NCAA for me to come over. And that's when I first got to Utah. But just that year between 2003 and 2004, I did have a few more conversation with missionaries about BYU, about Provo. They did come over to my house. You know, my family and I made a point to research more, but you know, I know we're probably going to get into it, you know, Now we're a little bit, but I wasn't like, hey, I want to discuss about the gospel. I just wanted to know more about BYU and Provo.
So I'm curious then, you had the connection with Luis Lemon and obviously with Hoffa to a certain degree. Yeah. Is that the only reason that you came here? So I guess what I'm asking is, let's say that Lou played, I don't know, let's say Lou played at Cincinnati. I mean, is that where you would have gone to check it out? And maybe that's where, is it as simple as that?
Yeah, so not really. And that's a good point. BYU used to have a coach in its staff, and his name is Walter Ruiz, right? Walter actually played for my mom for a few years back in Brazil. Walter is from the south of Brazil, but when you're good, you move to São Paulo, which is, you know, the nucleus, the center, the epicenter of basketball in Brazil. And Walter came and actually played for my mom for a few years. And so my mom and Walter had a relationship. And so Walter started reaching out to my mom and saying, hey, I'm hearing, you know, do you remember me? I played for you. My mom obviously remembered Walter. And he said, well, I'm hearing that you have a son that's really, really good and so on. So that's how my relationship and connection to Lou came about. Now I knew, well, that's how me reaching out to Lou came about, because my mom already knew Lou's dad. And I knew Lou from going and watching him because he was really good in Brazil. And the same thing with Hoffa. I knew who Hoffa was. You know, he was 17, 18, 19. And I would love to go to older kids' games to see their play. And so I knew them. They knew me because we had events. You know, I think this trophy right here that you see right here, that's a player of the year for the state of São Paulo. And I was at an event where Lou and Hoffa were there. And I'm like, you know, and you know me, so you're not surprised when I tell you. I walk up to them and be like, what's up, y'all? Y'all good? I'm good. Let's hang out, you know. And so I knew them from that. And then along with my mom knowing Lou's dad. But because Walter played for my mom and Walter was part of the BYU staff, he said, look, you know, obviously, I don't know if he has a chance to play for BYU. You know, we're a solid program. But I would love to see if we can help in his development. And my mom at that time, like I mentioned, because my dad is Italian, I have an Italian passport. I was already being offered to go to Europe and be part of an academy much like Yegor went to Real Madrid. Now, I wasn't good enough to go to Real Madrid, but I had big teams in Italy asking, you know, like Virtus Bologna, where Ginobili played, you know, Bologna Fortitudo, where is also a historic team, Milan, who's also a historic team. And so, but I never really wanted to go to Europe. I wanted to come to the U.S. And my mom has three PhDs. My dad has two.
And how many do you have, by the way?
Anyway, we're going to continue the conversation. And so, Jason, I graduated. I majored in basketball with a degree in communications and networking. Okay, so
hey, look, you're not look. Trust me, I am not. I'm not throwing shade. I promise.
And so because of that, I always wanted to come to the U.S. And my mom liked that idea, but she said, "I don't know who I'm going to send you there. I don't know anybody, but I know Walter. I know Walter's family. I know what's all about." He knows what I'm all about. You know, my mom was selected. My mom was honored as the coach of the century in Brazil. The coach of the year award in Brazil is named after her. And so, like, she is her, right? And when it comes to Brazil basketball, for youth basketball. And so Walter knew these things and said, okay, you know, he was going to come over and he's going to stay with me. We got it cleared by the NCAA and the Mountain West. And, you know, and my focus was to get in good grades. And when I came here, my first year, I actually lived with Walter when I was going to Timview. And by being at Timview, that's when I first knew about the gospel and heard about the gospel.
How JT ends up joining the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is a fascinating story. A prayer over a lost personal item clinched his conversion. That's all coming up next on the Deep Blue Podcast from BYU Radio. Thanks again to everyone out there for listening to the Deep Blue Podcast. Make sure you leave us a rating and a review on the show. You should always check out other BYU Radio podcasts as well, like Big Stories. Cleon Wall dives into incredible and amazing tales from around the Big 12 and beyond, like Kansas offensive coordinator and former BYU coach Jeff Grimes. He and his wife Sherry decided early in their marriage that they wanted to adopt a child from another country. They detail their long journey to adopting Jada from Africa and how that girl changed their family dynamic. And then there is Wyoming women's rodeo coach J.C. Hupp, who lost her parents and niece in a terrible accident but continues to lead the cowgirls in the rodeo arena. There are so many more inspiring stories just like these two tales, so check out Big Stories on your favorite podcast platform and start listening today. This is the Deep Blue Podcast from BYU Radio, and today's guest is former BYU basketball player and current Cougar television analyst Jonathan Tavernari. Before JT became the Brazilian bomber at BYU, he was a foreign basketball prospect feeling his way around his American peers at Timview High School in Provo. It was during this time that he was introduced to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
So, you know, I'm a Catholic boy. And I'm living in Provo, Utah, which is, I mean, talk about going from São Paulo, Brazil, Jace, to come all the way to Provo. I mean, you know, not really an easy transition. And there are not a whole lot of Catholic churches in Provo, Utah. Definitely not in 2004. And so I got invited to go to church by a couple of folks that lived in the neighborhood that I lived. And, you know, and then as I got there, I started seeing everybody from school. I saw people that were in my class, people that were in my history class, my math class, people that were on a basketball team. And I liked it. I'm like, hey, you know, there's nothing really to do on Sundays. I'm going to go to church. That will give me something to do. And then I'll never forget this. I had Air Force Ones, I had jeans, and I had a white polo shirt. Talk about being a fish out of the water in a Mormon chapel. And so I went and then I felt good. I kept returning. I told my mom and dad, I said, hey, I grew. I need, you know, and I didn't bring suits with me, right? Shirts and ties. I said, I need to get some stuff for me to go to church. And I did. I went to Mr. Mac. That's when I met the Mr. Mac people. I don't get paid to say this, by the way. They're just great people. But and so I went there, got a few suits, shirts, and ties, and started going to church. And pretty much the whole fall period, 2004, I'm attending church. I'm attending, you know, at the point it was mutual, you know, which is young man activity now. And I'm just going and I'm having a good time. I'm performing and singing performances. I have no idea, you know, what in the world is going on, but I'm there. I'm having fun. And until probably about conference time in October, and then a little bit after that, I got a set of scriptures. And I was gifted a set of scriptures from the quorum that I was a part of. And I have them here. And I was given these set of scriptures and they gave it to me. And it was the first time I received scriptures in my life outside from the Bible. And I started reading and I started reading. And at this point, I'm not taking any discussions. I'm not meeting with the missionaries. But every single day that I'm going to school, I'm writing with the guy, with the kid that was the bishop's son. And he's actually Craig Cusick's cousin. His name is Andrew Cusick. He actually walked on the basketball team, I think a year or two. And I'm going and I'm asking questions and we're talking about the gospel and we're talking about the Bible. And you know, Andrew was the personification of Elder Luckdorf's quote of living the gospel at all, preaching the gospel at all times, and when necessary, using words. And you know, he was the epitome of what it means to be a good member of the church, right? A good priesthood holder. And I loved it. And I remember, I think it was winter, but I don't remember the year. I think it was January. And I posted this on Twitter. What kind of got me over the hump of being baptized, and it was all on me. I had read the Book of Mormon. Everything made sense to me. And what kept me, not afloat, but what kept me really excited and engaged about the gospel was eternal families. I really miss my mom and dad. I'm an only child from São Paulo, living halfway around the world in Utah. And I really, really, really miss my parents. And so as I learn about the plan of happiness and, you know, where we come from and where we're going and how families can be together forever through Heavenly Father's plan, I love that. I drank from that cup. My goodness, that was music to my ears. And in that winter day, my mom had given me a cross necklace and I lost it and I couldn't find it for like a week. And we played, I think it was a Spanish Fork. I had Andrew drive me there to look for it. I looked at my locker. I looked everywhere. I even went, and you know me, so you know what I'm about to tell you was not crazy. I went into the intercom of Timview High School and convinced the lady.
Did you make an announcement?
And convinced the lady to let me make an announcement. This is Jonathan Tavernari from the basketball team, the Brazilian. I've lost a cross necklace my mom gave to me. It's really special. Can someone help me find it? And like, I did everything I could and I couldn't find it. And I remember one day I got home from practice and these scriptures were on my desk, you know, kind of on my bed. And I said, I'm going to say a prayer. And I said a prayer and I said, you know, Moroni's promise. And I said, God, I will start that if you need help, you can pray about anything and the truth will be revealed to me. I really miss this necklace. It's really important to me. Can you help me find it? And as clear as I see you right here in front of me wearing the beautiful navy blue, which should be BYU blue, by the way, and I see all of this, I saw where the necklace was in my mind. And the necklace was at the gutter in front of my house, covered in snow. I got up from my knees. I didn't even put shoes on, Shep. I raced outside. I started cleaning the snow and the necklace was there. And, wow. And I went and picked up the necklace. I rushed inside. I started washing it and I let it dry. And I turned around and the scriptures were there. And I said, I need to kneel down. And I knelt down and I said, please tell me if I should join the church. Please tell me if this is true or not. And I have never felt the way that I felt that way before in my life to that point. I felt, you know, it was cold in the middle of winter in Utah in a basement. It wasn't very warm, right? And so it felt cold, but I felt warm, and I felt warmth coming out of me like I was the Human Torch. And I just felt like I was being almost uplifted, elevated, like I was floating in the air. And I remember waking up and saying, I have to be baptized. I need to be baptized. I got on. I put on a shirt and tie. I had my necklace underneath. I walked to the bishop's house with my scriptures. I said, I need to talk to you. I'm ready to be baptized. And he sat down. He hugged me. He was super happy. But the one thing, you know, I will say is he had the foresight, and his name is Mark Cusick. Bishop Mark Cusick had the foresight of saying, we need to get you baptized in Brazil. Your mom and dad need to see this. Your family need to see this. Because I was ready to jump on the baptism found right then and there, Shep. I'm like, we got a tub over here, my guy. Let's get this going. You got the priesthood. And we navigated all of the logistics and all of that. After TimView, I went home to Brazil for a little bit in between playing AAU for a couple of different teams. I was playing for a team out of Texas called Houston Swoosh. And I was playing for EBO, Elite Basketball Organizations out of Fresno. And I played with the Lopez twins, Derek Jasper, Jared Bayless. You know, it was a great team. And but I went to Brazil for a little bit and I got baptized. And my mom and dad were there. My extended family was there. You know, I had people there, and it was really special. And from that point on, I'm like, I want to live this forever. But I still wasn't convinced I was going to go to BYU at that point, right? Yeah. You know, I had an offer from BYU because I was an all-state player at TimView. I actually had the only triple-double in the season that year against Provo High. And I had an offer from BYU, and I was getting recruited by everybody. But I, you know, and so, like, I was talking to Notre Dame. I was talking to Louisville, Michigan State, UCLA, Florida. You name it, I was getting letters. And I was getting, I don't know if you remember those old media guys that used to be print.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah. I had stacks upon stacks from Michigan, from North Carolina, from Clemson, from Florida State, Virginia Tech. And, but that's how I got converted. And then, you know, it kind of was the beginning for me.
You may have noticed in this podcast episode, or if you know anything about JT, he does like to talk, and that's good for a podcast. He talks so much, we decided to turn our conversation into two episodes. Coming up in part two, Jonathan talks about why he left Provo to attend Bishop Gorman High School in Las Vegas, why he decided to come back to BYU, even though he was offered scholarships to big-time basketball programs, and how he strives to positively represent Jesus Christ in all of his endeavors. This episode was produced by Ben Hall. Deep Blue's senior producer is Cleon Wall. You can find all Deep Blue podcasts on the BYU Radio app and anywhere you get your podcasts. Deep Blue is a production of BYU Radio.